Track 7, London Landmarks. And here we are with this month's description of a particular place in our capital city. Prepare to enter the hallowed walls of Westminster Abbey.
Well, hello, I'm John Hall, and I'm the Dean of Westminster, and I'm standing behind the high altar of Westminster Abbey in the shrine of St. Edward the Confessor, which for me is the very heart of the Abbey. Edward was the last Anglo-Saxon king of England, renowned for his Christian faith. He reigned from 1042 to 1066 and rebuilt the Abbey with its Abbey Church of St. Peter beside his new Palace of Westminster. It's one of the greatest buildings in the kingdom and must have made a dramatic impact from its position near the River Thames, surrounded only by fields. Edward's remains have been entombed on this site for over 900 years. Edward's Abbey, built in the Romanesque style and a little smaller than the building we have today, was consecrated on the 28th of December, 1065. Perhaps he knew that he was not long for this life, for 1 week later he was dead. His body was buried in front of the high altar, and in 1163 moved to a new shrine following his canonization. When Henry III rebuilt the abbey, he added a new chapel to honour St. Edward, and in 1269 the body was moved there. However, in the 1530s, when Henry VIII began dissolving monasteries, Westminster, being both the coronation and the burial church of kings, became for a time a cathedral. Erring on the side of caution, the monks dismantled the shrine and buried the confessor's body in a secret place. When Queen Mary I came to the throne, she had the shrine rebuilt and the body was moved back to its present resting place. You enter the abbey through the great north door, the old royal entrance at the end of the north transept, by a paved pathway from Parliament Square. To get to the shrine, you turn immediately left and start walking along the ambulatory in a clockwise direction. For anyone who's unsure of their bearings, we have a full-time staff of beadles, vergers, marshals and volunteers who are here to assist with directions and information. The hexagonal chapel, or shrine, of the confessor is accessed from the high altar by means of a wooden staircase on the north side of the ambulatory. It lies on a raised floor behind the stone sanctuary screen at the east end of the choir or nave. It was here, beneath the vaulted ceiling of the abbey, that the newly wed Prince William and his bride, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, signed the marriage register in 2011, witnessed only by their close families, family members, and me. The chapel is a quiet place of prayer and pilgrimage, as it has been for hundreds of years, with pilgrim prayers twice a day conducted at the small altar at the west end of the chapel. The altar stands on its own slab of dark grey marble, adorned with two superb silver candlesticks at each front corner, together with two smaller ones and a crucifix. They were given by Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother. The frontal cloth of the altar is of a different colour, according to the church calendar. Worshippers are invited to write down dedications and prayers on a special card that's available from the stand of remembrance candles in the north side of the nave, near the icons of Our Lord and the Madonna. And these cards are then placed on the altar, and we remember them in our prayers here in the shrine. The three-tiered shrine of the confessor stands on your right-hand side as you come in from the high altar. The shrine is built of dark green Purbeck marble and stands from east to west 12 feet long, 4 feet wide, and approximately 14 feet high. At each outer corner stands a 5-foot-high carved wooden candlestick with a tall white candle. All around the chapel, head-to-toe or head-to-head, are the tombs and effigies of many of England's medieval kings and queens, and several royal children. Early paintings of the 1269 shrine show us on top of the 7-foot-high marble base there lay a golden ferretry, a sarcophagus-like construction containing the saint's coffin and decorated with images of kings and saints. This ferretry was removed during the dissolution, but was never reconstructed. So the coffin of St. Edward was placed in a hollow in the top part of the stone base, where it remains. The ferretry that we see today was given by Mary I, and it's dark green with gold leaf detail, resembling a loggia with a smaller one standing on top of it. On both sides of the base of the shrine are arched recesses, three on each side, about 4 feet high. The apexes of the arches are vaulted, and the lower uprights have scalloped edges. Inside these recesses, pilgrims to the shrine sometimes still kneel as they say their prayers. We know this continues a medieval tradition, both from paintings but also from the way the marble has been smoothed away by centuries of knees pressed down upon it. Etched into the walls all the way around, one can feel a repeated pattern of diamond shapes about 4 inches square, which are pinkish-brown in colour, with a small roundel at each corner. Though the Purbeck marble base was wholly reassembled, little remained of the carvings and designs that had once decorated it, apart from some rich slabs of purple porphyry, a very hard stone, very precious too, from Egypt. However, one decorated column, accidentally embedded upside down in the floor of the shrine at the southwest corner, was unearthed. So we're able to admire the intricate rectangles, circles and triangles of coloured glass and mosaic encrusted in the stone, the trademark design of the great Italian craftsman, the Cosmati brothers. The floor of the shrine is also by Cosmati, although currently it's hidden and protected by a carpet. However, a further example of their work was revealed on the occasion of the recent royal wedding. Cosmati's magnificent sacrarium pavement in front of the high altar is constructed from pieces of stone of different colours and sizes, cut into triangles, squares, circles and rectangles. For me, as Dean of Westminster, this is a particularly powerful and evocative place. It's a wonderful privilege to bring people to pray here quietly, most memorably the Archbishop of Canterbury, on more than one occasion, once with the leader of the Orthodox churches, the Ecumenical Patriarch, and on another with Pope Benedict XVI. The shrine links us right back to the origins of the Abbey and reminds us of the strong connection between church and state from the 11th century. And it's another great privilege to celebrate the Eucharist here in the presence of the mortal remains of the last of England's monarchs to be recognised as a saint.
We are indeed very lucky to have so many impressive, magnificent and beautiful ancient monuments in our land, aren't we? I wonder how many of today's structures will still be standing and regarded as beautiful in hundreds of years' time.